through eternity. Well, let me tell you about the three little pigs. Their father called them aside one day and he said, I'm going to give you a portion of your inheritance. I'm going to give you some money and I want you all to go and build a nice home, a strong house that will stand the test of time. When the big bad wolf comes, you're going to be safe. Oh, we certainly will, said all three pigs. We're going to do it. We're going to do whatever we can. We're not going to fall back on the job. We're going to make sure our houses are strong. The first little pig's name was Pursuing, and his middle name was Riches. But his mother had actually named him that because she had hoped that he would pursue eternal riches. But he left the house with great expectancy, for he was sure that his house was going to be a strong one. And not too far down the road, he met the man with a wheelbarrow, and he had a wheelbarrow load of straw. And, of course, you know what happened there. He said, "Little pig, why are you wandering so far from your home? Don't you know that the big bad wolf is in these parts?" And Pursuing Pig had seen this man a few times. He'd seen him numerous times. And he knew that he'd been warned that he was of suspicious character. But he seemed so concerned that before he knew it, Pursuing found himself sharing his story. He said, "You know, the father sent me on a mission. He sent all three of us on a mission. And he wants us to build a strong house that will endure, that will last when the big bad wolf comes. And that's what I intend to do," he said. "Oh," said this man, his name was Earthly Things. He said, "I can help you with that because I have in my wheelbarrow, I've got the finest straw from the fields of worldly fame." He said, "I've got it right here. I'm going to help you build a strong, lasting house. And not only that, but it's going to be a discount price. It's not going to take long. It's going to be a discount price. And you're going to build that house, and you're going to have money left to invest, and you're going to be able to enjoy yourself." Well, Earthly Things sounded so enticing, it seemed much easier than what the way that Pursuing was trying to follow, the way that it sounded. And anyhow, the threat of a big bad wolf seemed kind of far distant and didn't seem like, "Well, that's probably just something that will never happen in my lifetime anyhow," he said. And a few months later, guess what? Pursuing Riches had his house built of straw, and it was the finest house you could ever imagine. It looked like a mansion, and only those that looked closely could see the little straws sticking out here and there from the house. Very soon, he was enjoying the finest of meals with his lovely wife, lover of pleasures. And he had surrounded himself with numerous servants that took care of his every desire, his every wish. But one day, as Pursuing was testing out his new digital TV, he noticed in the distance a suspicious-looking character that looked much like what his father had described the big bad wolf to look like. Fear began to creep in his heart, but he comforted himself with the words of Earthly Things. Because Earthly Things had told him, he said, "Don't worry about the big bad wolf anyhow," because he said, "This home is under lifetime warranty and you're not going to have to worry about anything happening to it. It will hold up against any wind or storm that may come." So Pursuing Riches called his wife and his servants into the house and he bolted the door and latched it. And before you know it, very soon the big bad wolf was at the door, just as his father had warned him. Little pig, let me come in," said the big bad wolf. "Not by the hair on my chinny chin chin," said Pursuing. "You are the wolf and I won't let you in." How many times have we heard that story? But anyhow. "Then I will huff and I will puff and I will blow your house in," shouted the big bad wolf. So he huffed and puffed and the storms of life came. The winds of addiction, the rains of marriage stress. The attacks of poor health and financial difficulties, and the house fell and everyone inside of it fled from Pursuing because the house was now in great ruin. "Aha!" shouted the wolf. "You see, I am the prince of the world and there is nowhere to run from my attack. Why don't you just end it all?" However, Pursuing knew better and he quickly ran out what was left of the back door and returned to his father's house. And guess what? His father saw him returning a long ways off and welcomed him back to his house with wide open arms. From this time forward, said pursuing as sobbing. He said, I will pursue only eternal riches. I like to end with a good ending. So, second little pig left his father's house, and he had a great resolve in his heart because his name was Greater Works, and his mother had named him that because he thought maybe he would do greater, she thought maybe he would do greater works for God's kingdom. He knew that his task would not be an easy one, but being a pig of great discipline, he felt that he would be equal to the task. He said, I think I can do this. It was not long before he met earthly things with his wheelbarrow of straw, and he said, well, there's no way I'm going to build my house of straw because I've read the manual. I know what the manual says. I've studied it. I've read it, and I know that your house cannot be built of straw. There's no way that's going to withhold the stand against the big bad wolf. So he studied under the great teachers of the great book of the great manual of the father's construction book. So he knew that this was not the right thing. Soon after that, he met a man with a nice solid work truck, and in his back, in his trailer, he had huge logs. He had sticks and logs mixed in, thick sticks, very sturdy, made of the best wood. So the man stopped and asked him, fine, hard-working pig, what are you doing so far from the father's house? Asked the man, and his name was Dead Works. I am being sent on a great mission, he said, to accomplish the work of my father. This is what I'm called to do. And he said, really, I'm in a big hurry. I've got a lot to do. I've got a lot of things on my mind. It's good to meet you, but I really got to build this house. I need to go because I'm accomplishing the Father's will. Well, yes, said Dead Works. I may be able to help you. I've built many houses for the Father. I've done many things for him. Well, yes, said Greater Works, but have you ever built a great house for him? Have you ever built a house for him? Absolutely, said Dead Works. I've built many monuments. I've built many churches, libraries. I've built many things for the Father. I've done many things. And I have built them only with the finest of wood. You see this wood that's back here on my trailer? They're built only of the finest wood. And not only that, but he said, I'll give you the best carpenter I have, and he knows every rule in that father's construction book, and he'll help you with every detail, and he'll make sure that everything is built exactly to the specs of what the father wants. He said, your father is going to be very pleased with you when this house is done. He said, I'm going to help you do it. This is much better than bricks. He said, I'll make sure that you have a fine house. And it was not long before even Greater Works was enticed by Dead Works and began construction on his new home. Every detail was built to match all that was written in the Father's manual. The windows were straight. Every wall was square. Everything was built to specs. It was looked like a perfect house. Now, it did seem to go a little faster than what the Father had told him it would go, but he just assumed that because he knew the Father's manual so well and construction manual so well that it was that's the reason it went up so well. So he settled in, and the only thing not noticeable to the visible eyes were what? Were the tiny termites of self-righteousness. And they were in almost every log in that house. But no one could see them, so no one really paid much attention to them. No one except, well, guess who? The big bad wolf. He came to pay a visit one day, but Greater Works was well prepared. His security guard came running and said, hey, there's someone down there looking like the big bad wolf. He looks like that creature you've described. He said, you better get ready. So they quickly barred the doors, batting everything down, made ready for the big bad wolf's coming. Soon the big bad wolf came and knocked on the door. Little pig, let me come in. And of course, again, he said, not by the hair on my chinny chin chin. He said, I read about all your tricks in the Father's manual, and you're not getting in here. You're the wolf, and you're not going to come in. So the big bad wolf again huffed and puffed, and the storms of life came. The winds of addiction, the rains of marriage stress, the attacks of poor health and financial difficulties. But surprisingly enough, these storms didn't bring it down. This is a bit more difficult than what I imagined, muttered the big bad wolf. I'm going to have to check this out. So he looked at the house just a little more closely, and he saw the termites of self-righteousness were invading the house. Well, maybe it's not quite as difficult as what I thought, said the big bad wolf. So he huffed and he puffed, and he brought the accusations of little love, of which the second little pig had little love, lack of relationship with the father, which he lacked also, and no true love for others. And those winds came and they beat against the house. And of course the house soon fell down under these accusations because they were true. It was not built to withstand these types of storms because it was weakened by the termites of self-righteousness and dead works. Again, this big bad wolf shouted, I am the prince of this world and you may as well give up. You may as well just end it all. Why don't you just end it all? You've lost everything. Everything you've tried to build. He said, just end it all. And greater works for a moment began to believe his accusation and almost ended his own life. But then he heard a still small voice saying, remember your mother's prayers. So he also returned to his father saying, Father, have mercy on a sinner like me. That's a good ending. The third little pig, whose name was Obedient, left his father's house, but he had a bit of sadness in his heart because he already missed the closeness of his father's love. However, his father assured him that he would be with him. He said, I'm going to be with you wherever you go. He met earthly things and dead works, and in spite of their many enticing words, he assured them that he had only come to do what the Father told him to do and gave him to do, what the Father was showing him to do. After a season, he came to the foundation the Father had told him about, and on that foundation, he prayed about it. He felt an assurance that, yes, this was the foundation that the Father had called him to build upon. He began to draw blueprints for the house and suddenly discovered that he had no materials for this house. What am I going to build with and where will I find my material? Asked Obedient. It occurred to him that maybe he could find his answer in the Father's great construction manual. He didn't find the exact answer he was looking for, but he found many other things, and as he read and studied, he felt the Father whisper to him that maybe he could go down and help that little elderly lady that needed help, that said she needed someone to do some work for her. So he went down to help her, and afterwards he noticed a few bricks laying there in her yard, and he said, you know, I'm trying to build a house. Would you mind if I took these bricks with me? And she said, sure, you can have them all. You can take them. No problem. And he noticed that every time he was obedient to the Father's voice to love him and to love others, that he would find new bricks to build his own house with. Sometimes he was tempted to go out and buy bricks from the warehouse. He thought, man, it'd be so much easier just to buy bricks from the warehouse and go ahead and do that. It'd be so much easier. But he heard the Father's voice whisper, I will help you find the bricks. One time the work on his house was getting so slow and he was getting so impatient, he noticed a passerby had a few bricks and he decided he's going to buy a few bricks. He bought them from them, but you know, in a few weeks he noticed those bricks were beginning to crumble and he had to take them all down and start over with those bricks that he had bought. Sometimes he would come home so tired from following the Father's instruction of love and obedience that he scarcely had the energy to lay his own bricks. The work progressed ever so slowly, and when his two brothers pursuing riches and greater works would visit and tell of their great progress, he wondered, what am I missing? What is it, Lord? What is it, Father? What is it that I'm missing? What am I doing wrong that I can't build a house as quickly? And often he would cry out to the Father, and the Father would reassure him with his peace. He'd give him his peace. One day far away, he saw the big bad wolf coming up to the house. And fear began to rise up in his heart. He said, oh no, I've only got one wall in place. Forgive me, Father, I thought I was doing your will. I thought I was following what you gave me to do. And soon the big bad wolf was at his front door. Ah, shouted the big bad wolf, this may be easier than I thought possible. You only have one wall against my storms, and you may as well give up now. But somehow, in spite of his weakness and lack of finishing the house, something rose up in obedience. And he declared to the big bad wolf, my Father is well able to deliver me from your hands. We'll see about that, shouted the big bad wolf. And he began to huff and to puff, and the storms of life came. The winds of marriage difficulty, poor health, financial difficulties came, but the wall stood firm. But the wolf didn't leave this time. He said, I'm just going to stay here, and I'm going to huff and puff until this wall crumbles. And he continued to huff and puff as Obedient took shelter behind the wall. But then Obedient heard the still small voice of the Father. He said, you can still build a house. I'm still with you. So Obedient took courage from his Father's voice and began to build once again. Again, he began continued to build that house in spite of the opposition. Sometimes the opposition was so great and the pain so intense that he could scarcely lift the bricks up into place. But he began to notice that even when through tears of sorrow, that those tears of sorrow washed away some of the self-love that he had, and there was a brighter light that he had for the Father's love, and a brighter light that he began to see rising up for others. And so within him there rose a greater love than he'd ever seen before. He had not even noticed it, but it became stronger. And he began now to see a new phenomenon. Others were seeing the greatness of his shelter and would come to help him build the house that he had begun. In fact, pursuing riches and greater works, when their houses were destroyed, they came and began to help him build his house. He began to see the house grow into a great shelter. There were orphans there and widows that would love to come and rest in their shelter. They felt the love of the Father there. He'd feed and clothe those in need, and many would find refuge in its shelter. Those bound with addictions and the wounded would find freedom, strength, and healing from their wounds. And the storms of life continued to beat upon this house, but it stood firm, for it was founded and built upon the rock. Man, it was built upon the rock. You know, without the cross, there is no resurrection. Without the cross, there is no glory. And that's what God calls us to. You know, the philosophy, if it feels good, do it, comes only from a self-serving, decadent world, from empires that have risen up and have fallen many years ago. In fact, I just like to look at Ezekiel 16, 49 and 50. It says, the sin of your sister Sodom. We know Sodom was a place of great iniquity, and oftentimes we think of Sodom simply as a place of sodomy, but there's other things that God mentions here. He says, now this was a sin of your sister Sodom. She and her daughters were arrogant, overfed, and unconcerned. They did not help the poor and needy. They were haughty and did detestable things before me. Therefore I did away with them as you have seen. There's five things mentioned here. The first one is arrogant or proud. Next one is overfed, abundance of bread, unconcerned, abundance of idleness. They had no help for the poor and needy. And then he brings after that, he said, they were proud and did detestable things, did abominations before God. That's why he did away with them. Why didn't God hear through Ezekiel? Why didn't he mention the perversion first? That's the first thing we think of. I believe it's a progression in our hearts. And I'm sad to say it may be, I believe it's coming in our nation. I pray to God that we will rise up again as a nation. But if we don't turn back to God, you know, first comes pride. We say, did God say? We say, we built this great nation. We don't need God's help anymore. Then comes the fullness of bread or self-sufficiency. We say, I am rich and have need of nothing. And then the abundance of idleness, which we see everywhere. We comfort flesh by flesh. You know, we have a bad day, and what do? We sit down and maybe watch something funny on TV, or, you know, we try to comfort ourselves instead of going to the Holy Spirit and God for our strength. We try to comfort ourselves with things of this world. The food we eat, the MTV, the sports, entertainment soothes our souls, and we forget about the poor and needy around us. Our flesh finally degenerates, and we've seen that in our nation, and we begin to commit abominations in God's sight. You know, it's like the story of Scrooge, the Christmas story of Scrooge, and the chains that they wove. The chains that they wove, he said, they become heavier and heavier, and longer and longer. And I think that's the way it is with us as individuals and as a nation. The chains become heavier and they become longer. The longer we live, the longer our nation progresses unless we turn back to God. And I'd like for you to look at today what you're closest to. Which pig do you feel like you're the closest to? What do you think that God, what do you think God might assess you? Just take an honest look at yourself and just say, Lord, which one do I tend to gravitate the most frequently? Do I tend to gravitate more towards the things of this world, just building up things, buying things, having things, having a nice vehicle? None of those things are wrong in themselves, but is that what I'm looking for? Is that what I'm working for? Is that what I'm building my house of? Or am I building a house that's eternal? The second pig was still pursuing God as a thing rather than a person. Again, you know, the manna came every day. The manna was fresh for that day. It didn't last the next day. And so he was still using dead works. He was still using the old things he'd heard maybe as a child, which were good things, but they were not the fresh word that God wanted for him. It was not that fresh, new relationship that God was seeking to build in his life. He was using the arm of the flesh. He was using those dead works that had worked so well for him in the past. And it's a work of the flesh just as much as pursuing the world is a work of the flesh. Are we living on yesterday's manna, or are we building an eternal house that endures? It's much harder to build an eternal house. It says love endures all things. And that's what Christ endured for you and for me, and it was much more difficult. He could have just called, like the old song goes, he could have called 10,000 angels to just destroy the world and set him free, but he chose to die there for you and me. And that's the legacy God wants us to leave for our generation. He wants us to build this eternal house because it's not just going to affect our lives. It's going to affect future generations. It's going to affect our generations to come. It's going to affect many other people. You know, we may think that, well, what decisions I make is not going to affect anybody, but they do. There's a legacy that God is calling you to leave for a future generation. He wants you to build this house. And he said it's like a grain of mustard seed that grows up and it becomes a great tree and it provides shade for many, it provides help for many. That's the house he wants us to build. We're all going to do it in different ways. None of us is going to be alike, but that's the house he calls every one of us to build. And he calls us to do it not through the arm of the flesh, but to seek and receive the love that he has for us. Faith will disappear in the glorious reality of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Hope will be lost in the presence and the glories of our glorious King and His kingdom power. But love will endure because love is eternal. If you love but one person for Christ, guess what? Your legacy is going to go on forever because that person will spend eternity in the presence of God because you had love for that one person. And I just like to, if Lois, you could come up, and I just like to think about what God has called us to. Think about where God has you in your life, in your walk with Him. What is it that you gravitate toward? Is it the things of this life? Is it just dead works, doing things simply out of repetition because you've done it yesterday? God has new manna for you this morning. He has a fresh love that He wants to pour out. And maybe you're here and you've never given your heart to the Lord. Maybe you've never said, Lord, You have something far greater for me. You have a house, an eternal house, that You want to build that can only be done through Your Spirit and through Your presence. And I just want to commit myself anew to Your heart, to Your life. And I want to give myself. I want to be like obedient who followed the will of the Father, even though the way was more difficult, even though the way was sometimes barred with thorns and there were things the enemy threw in his way that came against him. But even in spite of all those difficulties, you want to say this morning, Lord, I just want to receive Your love this morning. If that's you this morning, I just want you to, I just ask you to maybe stand to your feet where you're at. If you just want to receive, or you can come to the altar and pray, have someone pray with you.